hello there, everyone, and welcome to Abundant Yoga Teacher Podcasts. I'm Amy McDonald, a yoga teacher and yoga business coach, and I support talented yoga teachers to grow abundant businesses. Abundant Yoga Teacher is my weekly training and conversation podcast where I share about one specific topic that has been surfacing for my clients, me, or other yoga teachers in this community. Through the lens of yoga, we talk business growth, skills, competencies, confidence, ethics, success, and fun. Let's get started. Hey folks, it's Amy here. I am so excited today. I am in my yoga nerd element because I'm joined today by Philip Goldberg. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
I'm fabulous. I'm particularly fabulous because I'm going to hear all about your work momentarily. But for folks who have yet to have the pleasure to meet you, Phil, I'll just read out your bio so they have a little sense of what you're all about. So Philip Goldberg is the author or co-author of numerous books. We'll get to that in a minute. A public speaker and workshop leader, a spiritual counselor, meditation teacher, and an ordained interfaith minister. I didn't know that. He lives in Los Angeles, co-hosts the Spirit Matters podcast, leads American Veda tours, which I'm going on soon later in the year, can't wait, and blogs regularly on Huffington Post and spirituality and health. Phil, welcome. Welcome to my... and thank you for indulging my yoga nerd.
I love yoga nerds.
I've got it. So I remember the first time I saw your book, American Veda, was at that New Age bookstore on Abbot Kinney. I can't remember what it's called, but and I'd made a commitment to myself.
Mystic Journey.
Yes, there you go. I'd made a commitment to myself that I was traveling with a small suitcase. I was not allowed to buy any more books. And so I was tossing up between two, and I didn't choose yours, but as soon as I got back to my Airbnb, I ordered it online so that it would be waiting for me when I got home. And it is such a great book for people who haven't read it yet. And folks, if you haven't read it yet, it is our current book club book, so go out and get it. Could you tell us a little bit about your book? And let's start there. What's the book about?
Well, I assume you're talking about American Veda.
I so am.
And that was written and, well, it was published in 2010, and it was the product of many years of research documenting and discussing the implications of the transmission of spiritual teachings from India to America specifically, but the West in general. The subtitle contains the words, How Indian Spirituality Changed the West. And it was my contention that, especially in America, the impact of a long succession of gurus and people who were influenced by the gurus and the books that came from India have had a much bigger impact on the culture and especially on our spirituality than people realize. And so I set out to document that and sort of profile all the major players involved over the course of some 200 years.
And one of the things that I love about it is all of the interconnections and the, oh, I didn't know that about him, and oh, that's where that happened. I mean, could you tell us a little, like, what are some of the elements or some of the stories that you explain in your book?
Well, Americans especially would relate to some of the earliest influences. Ralph Waldo Emerson and Henry David Thoreau, who are probably known around the world, but especially here, had an enormous impact on the development of American culture and how we look at the world. And both of them were the beneficiaries of some of the earliest books in English translations of Indian spiritual texts like the Bhagavad Gita and writings about India. And so the influence on them was deep, and their influence in turn on the culture was pervasive. So that's a starting point. But then as you go through the history, you see the teachers who left India, beginning with Swami Vivekananda, and then Yogananda, whose biography I'm writing now, and then all the gurus of the 60s and 70s, they had huge impacts on America, but they also traveled everywhere else. So big parts of Western Europe, especially the UK and Germany, Australia, other places, especially the English-speaking places, because, of course, they were part of the British Empire and spoke English in India in those days. And so their impact was big. But what was most fun for me and most revelatory for a lot of people was showing how those people and the literature affected important thinkers, artists, scientists, scholars, psychologists, who in turn then incorporated the teachings into their work and transmitted it to the rest of us, sometimes in ways that were so subtle, people barely knew there was anything Indian or yogic about it. But over the course of time, I think Western societies in general, and you see America sort of setting the pace for this, becoming more and more like yogis in the way we approach our own personal mental and physical and spiritual development.
I love this. I just should say for anybody, I've got to say, in the past I have chosen some books for our book club that were a little dense. Heavy going, and folks, this is not one of those books. This is it's a page turner. It's super fun. I'm keeping myself contained. This is not Tulsi Das's Ramayana. It's going to be okay. Go get it. Tell us. It's funny, you know, Phil, because when we were finding a time that the two of us could meet, I was actually at Satchidananda's ashram in Virginia, and you know, there's all these pictures everywhere of Vivekananda and Ravi Shankar and all it, and I love the way that your book kind of pulls all of these people in. Yogananda is up there. I've got to ask you,
which ashram were you at, did you say?
Satchidananda, Yogaville.
Oh, Yogaville. Great. Isn't that funny? Because last 2 weeks ago, I was in the Bahamas at the...
The Shivananda.
Shivananda ashram. His guru by Vishnu Devananda.
Yeah.
So I write about all these people. Yeah.
I've totally forgotten.
Seeing all these people.
I love how your book pulls them all together. That's what I was going to ask you. You said just now, I couldn't resist, that you're writing the biography of Yogananda. What are you going to call that book, Phil?
That's a good question. because I'm in discussions with my publisher right now. Probably the title will be just plain old Yogananda. And the subtitle will be a biography
of a yogi.
Of the yogi who became the first modern guru. Everybody asks me why I'm writing a biography of Yogananda when half the world has read of the autobiography of a yogi. And the quick answer to that is, there's a lot that's not in his autobiography.
Just listening at the moment to Ben Kingsley's, the audiobook of Autobiography of a Yogi. There's a lot of wacky stuff that is in that book, though. It's dated somewhat, of the terminology.
Yes, but for one thing, and you'll have to have me back on after the book comes out and you read it.
Oh, cool.
But the less than 10% of his autobiography is about his life in the West, which was more than half of his life. And so a lot is left out. And a lot of the autobiography of a yogi is these wonderful stories about other people. And so this is more like a life story than his own book is.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to love it. It's going to be on our book club list for sure. Watch this space.
Okay, the deal.
What was your, of all of the characters, if you like, in American Vader, do you have a favorite? Is there anyone that you're particularly drawn to?
I can't answer that question. Of all the gurus I talk about, the one I spent time with was Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. He was my earliest teacher, and I was trained by him to teach his form of meditation, his transcendental meditation. And because of my closeness to him and his story, of course, the Beatles connection to this whole story is a huge part of the fascination to me and to other people.
For folks who aren't obsessed with the White Album like I am, maybe could you just explain for what is the connection between Maharishi Mahesh Yogi and the Beatles?
Well, they met. It's a long story, and it's I love telling it, and I'll try to be brief because you know it's in the book. Of course, it's a key part of the story in general. But you know, the Beatles, especially George, were seekers, and in 1967, we're coming on very close to the 50th anniversary of this. They were seeking, and George had been to India to study sitar with Ravi Shankar, which is one of the great mentor-student relationships in history, and had started to become deeply interested in his spiritual life. And when they heard that Maharishi Mahesh Yogi was in India, and people were interested in transcendental meditation, it was actually George's then wife, Patty, who said, "Let's go hear him speak." And they did. And it was a world-changing moment because overnight, everybody in the world knew there was something called meditation that uses something called mantras, and there are people called gurus, and there are places called ashrams. And this was an overnight watershed moment in the history of this East-West transmission. And then they went to India to meditate in his ashram in Rishikesh, and it really did change the world. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, meditation, and by extension, everything about yoga and Indian philosophy became more and more mainstream because of the impact that the Beatles had.
It's a strange place now, that ashram in Rishikesh. It's kind of like something out of an action movie with it all overgrown with creepers and vines.
Well, when were you there?
Last year.
Well, so was I. Now, this is a segue to my... I was there last March of 2016. I was I was one of the people leading a tour, American Veda tours, and we were in the north of India, and we went to Rishikesh. Now, I had been there before. I had been to that ashram twice before, just as, you know, a tourist or a researcher. And you're right, it was overgrown and it looked like an ancient ruin. Mm. However, they're fixing it up. The British government.
Oh, fantastic!
They were going to let it return to ruins because it was like part of the Forest Service, and they were, you know, for animal wildlife preservation and ecology. They were just letting the jungle grow back in. And then they had the idea that, well, you know, this is a historic place, and people come, they want to see it. So why don't we instead clean it up, charge admission? You used to be able to just bribe somebody and get in. Now you have to actually buy a ticket. And, and it costs a lot of money, or more money, and by Indian standards. And they have. They've started to clean it up. They've created, you know, nice walkways. They put up signage. And they left the graffiti, all the Beatles and the everything in the, you know, what used to be the lecture hall and all this kind of thing. But it's much, it's cleaned up, and there's actually a, you know, a ticket booth and a gate. And,
totally different.
When I was there, we met with the guy who is in charge of the project, and he takes great pride in, you know, this being an important place and this, you know, being an important moment, commemorates an important moment in the history of India's relationship to the West. And it's being done in a quite nice and dignified way. And so you should go back.
It'd be different. Love that.
Yes.
I think it was, that was the highlight of my time in Rishikesh for sure. Were you ever there during your I don't know how you say this politely, earlier times, younger years,
my story is interesting. I decided I wanted to become trained and be a teacher of TM and he used to train teachers in that ashram in Rishikesh. And I applied to go, and it was like 2 years after the Beatles phenomenon. And by then, there were so many people interested in learning to meditate, and the demand for teachers was so great that he couldn't fit them all in the ashram. So he came to America to train teachers.
Got it.
So he came to America and Europe, and so it took me years before I got to visit the place.
So I had the very good fortune of being at your Beatles and yoga performance in Bulgaria last year. Talk about
element.
Like everything that you love all in one place. And I also went to one of your talks at that festival and picked up a postcard for one of your tours. And I knew right then that I was bloody going on the tour. It took me a few months to register, but I'm signed up for your American Vader tour that's coming up in October, November. I'm besotted with it. I'm so excited about it. Could you tell us a little bit more about the tour and what it's like and what it includes?
Well, the idea was to do tours that would sort of follow in the footsteps as best we can of the principal gurus and yoga masters who came to the West and who people, you know, in America and Europe, Australia are all familiar with because these people affected all of our lives. And so that's the sort of theme of American Vader tours. But we also go to, you know, important temples and other landmark places. So last year we went to the North, and we were in Rishikesh and Varanasi and up in the foothills of the Himalayas and Calcutta and in the environs and a few other places. And this year we're going to the South. So we'll be meeting in Chennai and visiting places associated with Yogananda and with Vivekananda. There's a Vivekananda Museum there. We'll be visiting Krishnamurti's foundation. And then we will head down to Pondicherry, where Sri Aurobindo's ashram and Auroville are. And then we go to some of the most important temples. People who know the symbol of Shiva as the cosmic dancer, the Shiva Nataraja, there's a temple in the South that is said to be where that originated. We'll go there. We're going to Tiruvannamalai, where Ramana Maharshi lived and where his ashram is, and where Arunachala Hill, where he meditated. And so we'll be there paying homage to him and meditating, you know, in his place and in the caves. Then we'll go to Bangalore. We'll visit some ashrams there and the S. Vyasa research, Yoga Research University, where they do very interesting research and train people. And we'll go to Sri Sri Ravi Shankar's ashram, and a few others, depending on our the time and the geography. And then from there, we have other stops. We're going to go to Sringeri, where the history of the Shankaracharya lineages began. And then we're going to go visit Radhanath Swami, who's very well known these days in the West, an American who's got his own lineage going in India. And he has an eco village, sort of an eco village, sustainable ashram. And we're going to spend a few days there with them, do some chanting and seeing what the life is like in a place like that. And then in Mumbai, and we'll stop in Ganeshpuri, where Swami Muktananda's ashram was. So that's the south for 3 weeks. And, the hope is we'll alternate north and south in successive years over time. And but I just gave you the sort of overview of the tour we'll be doing in the south in the fall of 2017. And along the way, it'll be me and Swami from Muktananda's lineage, who will be meditating together and having yoga sessions and chanting. And what I try to do, and it worked out very well in the north, is because I'm an author of these books, I somehow became very well connected. and so I'm able in many places to give us experiences that most travelers don't have, like, chatting with the gurus and swamis and maybe having access to places that are not always easy to get. And so we try to arrange those kind of things. But India being India, there are always surprises, and we can't always plan too far in advance, but most of the surprises end up being pleasant ones.
My face hurts. I'm smiling so hard. I'm so excited about going on this trip.
Phil, what's going on? What are we here in the back?
I'm convinced that there is an ambulance driver who's just been lost for the past, I don't know, week that I've been here, and he's just driving around my apartment. Where can we find out more about this? I'm already going, but I want more people in my community to sign up and come along and hang out.
Yes, with you need company. You need,
yeah.
If you Google American Veda Tours, you'll get to it. And if you go to my website, philipgoldberg.com, there's a button on the menu for the tours. And
perfect.
You can also email AmericanVedaTours@gmail.com. And my business partner on this, Karen, will send you information. So you have several ways to find out, but the key is American Veda Tours.
Okay, brilliant. Folks, go check it out. You're so eloquent the way you described it at the beginning, Phil. People ask me what it's about, and I say, it's kind of like 3 weeks of guru stalking in southern India.
that's a good way to put it. And all you Aussies listen, Amy needs somebody who speaks her language.
Yeah, so that you can interpret for me. That would be good.
That's right.
I had someone on that when I was flying out of Yogaville back to wherever, Dulles and over here. This woman spoke to me for ages from Texas about how wonderful it was that, what's her name? I don't even know. There's been some royal marriage. I don't know. Someone got married somewhere in the royal family, and she was, wanting me to be really excited about it because she was convinced I was British. I thought, oh, gee. Oh, well.
And if you were, you'd be very even less excited.
Phil, thanks so much for sharing all of this stuff with us. I think that I I love when we get to talk about yoga in the broader context of yoga asana. Yeah. You know, I think, and the gifts that it brings people, like you said earlier, that might not even know. One of the things I always say is, you know, Rhonda Byrne, the Vedas had it before Rhonda Byrne. You know, everybody's into The Secret and manifesting and all of this stuff.
Oh, but my God, yeah.
The connections to the New Age movement, oh, there's that ambulance again. The connections to the New Age movement, I also find just intriguing. And I love your work helps shine a light on what yoga's done for a lot more people than yoga students.
Oh, my goodness. You know, the current yoga scene, I mean, it's a wonderful thing that millions and millions of people are benefiting from mainly asana practice. But you know, part of my mission is to make sure now that yoga is a household word and a common practice that we don't forget that asana is just one small part of what yoga really is, and the spiritual dimension of yoga, which is, you know, its origin and real meaning. Doesn't get lost in this emphasis on healthy bodies that look great. Mm-hmm. We all want a healthy body, but for yogis, a healthy body is not just an end, a worthwhile end in itself, but it's a stepping stone and a means to spiritual unfoldment. Mm. And a more fulfilling life in general. And so that, you know, that's sort of the emphasis of not just my books and my tours, but, you know, whatever voice I have in the world, I just find that it's important to remind people of that. And one of the most satisfying aspects of having written American Veda for me is getting to talk to yoga teachers and yoga people, teachers in training and yoga students, and to remind them that there's a deeper dimension to yoga than what you get in just typical asana class, which is not to denigrate asana classes. You know, it's a wonderful thing in and of itself, and for many people it's enough, but there is more to it, more to yoga, more to Indian tradition, and it's important for people to remember that. And so thanks for giving me the opportunity to issue that little bit of propaganda.
You bet. I also think that as yoga teachers, you know, our tradition is about lineage. And so knowing how people fit together and who did what. And I also think that's part of being respectful for what it is that we get to do as a profession now. If Vivekananda didn't come over for that Congress, who knows if,
yeah, that's right,
if we would all be getting hit together today.
I always like to tell yoga teachers that many people who are trained these days to teach yoga, well, even the last 10, 20 years, they may be familiar with the lineage that their teacher comes from. But we're all part of what I call a Maha lineage, that, you know, this great lineage that includes all the great teachers and all the masters from all the different lineages. It's a Vedic lineage, and it came to the West and got translated and adapted and filtered into everyday life for our benefit. And I think it's important to pay homage to that Maha lineage and bear in mind if those of us who represent these teachings in any way, whether we teach asanas at the YMCA or, you know, we're becoming a swami or whatever it is, or you're a scholar or a musician, we stand on the shoulders of very important people. And I love the lineages that recognize that and pay homage to their counterparts. The yogic tradition is very multifaceted and diverse, and is not just you know, Iyengar and Patavi Joyce, it's not just Maharishi Mahesh Yogi or Yogananda. It's all of this together creating an important transmission from the Himalayas to ambulance drivers in London.
Phil, it's been an absolute delight. Thank you for spending some time with us. Folks, go and check out Phil's tour. Come with me. Help translate my Australian accent. And if you absolutely can't come to India with us, go get Phil's book. We'll be reading it for Book Club, American Vader. You can find out information about the book and the trip and more about Phil at AmericanVader.com. Phil, thanks again. You've been a fantastic guest.
Thank you so much, Amy. Lovely to be with you.
Before we finish up today, folks, I did want to remind everybody about Growing Your Yoga Business, which is enrolling now. So if you haven't heard about it yet, I am as excited about it as I am about Phil's tour. Note, the 3 weeks that I'm on Phil's tour, we won't be having live calls for Growing Your Yoga Business. But who knows, maybe you're going to be in India with me anyway and we could be nerding out together about your yoga business on a bus trip somewhere. So if you don't know about Growing Your Yoga Business, it is my four-month group training program, and it has everything in it that you need to do exactly that, grow your yoga business. So if you have had teaching yoga as a hobby and you're ready to take it more seriously, if your yoga business exists but it feels like it's a struggle, or if you don't feel confident in the marketing and the admin and the in making the money, if you're ready to go bigger, if you're ready to take yourself out into the global marketplace, whatever it is, if you know that now, halfway through 2017, it is time to go call in some support to grow your yoga business, this is the perfect program for you. It's made up of 8 really juicy modules that cover the 8 most common topics that I've discovered working with hundreds of yoga teachers over the past couple of years. We cover things from all of the nuts and bolts pieces, things like business planning, creating a website, using social media, how to price things, how to have great terms and conditions, contracts, these sorts of things, the things that you don't get taught in your YTT. We also look at all of the mindset work that it takes to take your business to the next level, overcoming the fear of putting yourself out there and judgment and criticism, visibility, preparing for your first professional yoga photo shoot, doing live video as part of your marketing, how overcoming the fear about that. How do you have great boundaries with people? How do you have difficult conversations with students and joint venture partners? So it's a really comprehensive course. Over these 8 modules. In each module, there is a training video with me sharing on that particular topic. And if you know anything about me, you know that I like a good anecdote and a bit of yoga nerd. So be ready. Those videos include that, full disclosure. Each module also comes with a workbook that's about, like, it's, I'm a get shit done person, in case you hadn't figured that out already. So they're not endless copying of notes, going to take you heaps of time. It's very potent workbooks so that you are generating the material that you need to actually go implement for that growth in your business. We're not effing around. And then for each module, we also get on the phone together, is a big, fantastic kind of yoga cooler, and do questions and answers. So that's where you get laser coaching from me on exactly what it is that you need in your business to take it to the next level. We could tease out something, address a block or a barrier, and you'll get to meet all of the other people who are in the program. We have a private Facebook group just for all of the participants where you will be able to network with a global Rolodex of very cool high vibrational yoga teachers that are also going for it in their business. We'll be unapologetically supportive of each other. This is a competition and comparison-free zone. For the program that's just finished up, one of the things that I loved the most was going and visiting people. Being in London to have dinner with some of the graduates from Growing Your Yoga Business, the contacts that people are making. People are teaching internationally for the first time ever because they have a host studio to go to that they didn't know about before through the people that they met in this program. So it's a four-month journey, and the contacts that you make and the things you learn and implement really are like lifetime stuff. It's enrolling right now. There are 2 streams to the program. There are 2 ways that you can register. you can register for what's called the business track, where you receive all of the elements that I've already described, and that investment is 1,800 Australian dollars. So that's great news for folks in the States, and for folks in paying in pounds or rand or euro or, I don't know, ringgit, whatever, do the conversion. And there's a payment plan option for that as well, if you would like to split the payments over four parts so that you can make the first installment. And then I would love it if you could amp up the income in your business from what you learn in the program and then pay for the remaining three installments with new yoga money because your business has become more abundant. Then there's also the VIP track, which is everything that's included in the business track plus private coaching with me. And it's the only way at the moment that I'm taking on private clients. So if you've been interested in having me as your yoga business coach, this is the way to go get that for yourself. It includes 8 coaching sessions with me. So more or less 1 per module where we get on the phone together and I really support you one-to-one to grow your yoga business. So that's the VIP track. There's only a limited number of those because I've yet to master the cloning city. There's only 10 of those. Well, it was 10 when we first launched the program for that very reason. So there's the VIP track, which comes with private coaching, the only way that you can coach with me privately these days. And there's also the business track, which has got an amazing, chunky, juicy, super exciting 8 modules. And of course, in either of those, you get that in either of the tracks and also access to an incredible community. So the program is enrolling now. Enrollments do finish up at the end of this month and we're getting started in later in July. So if you set yourself great sankalpa at the beginning of the year to finally turn your business around or dial it up and it hasn't happened yet, could I lovingly invite you to go check out the program. Look at amymcdonald.com.au/growing-your-yoga-biz and you'll find out about all of it there. If you have any questions, I want you to make the right choice for yourself. This is really important. So please send me an email. I'm more than happy to email backwards and forwards with you or jump on the phone. I know what it's like to make an investment of this magnitude and I want you to make the right choice. So if you have any questions, please shoot me an email. Happy to help. amy@amymcdonald.com.au. One of the questions people have been asking is how much time am I going to need a week in the program? Tricky for me to say because I don't know you personally, but I would say if you had 4 hours a week as a minimum, then you'll get great value from the program. Something else that I should add is that once you've invested in the program, once you've signed up, we'll go through all of the modules, we release them over the course of the 4 months. And then at the end of the 4 months, you have all of that material. You have downloadable all the videos, all the workbooks, all the recordings from the calls so that you can go back and reuse all of that material again and again and again. And you'll still have all of the contacts that you make so you can continue to take the materials further and deeper to continue to grow in the way that feels right for you. Another question that I often get is, well, what are the times and the dates of the calls? Growing your yoga business is absolutely a global community. And for that reason, we do alter the times of the calls and the days of the weeks because we don't want every 5 people to miss out every call because they happen to be teaching a class on Thursday evenings. Or as the other thing that happens, it's the middle of the night for the same people for 8 calls. So we are flexible with those to accommodate as many people as we can and make sure that we're sharing the love when it comes to waking up in the middle of the night. That's the nature of a round planet. That's not my fault. Someone has to miss out. So that's it. amymcdonald.com.au/growing-your-yoga-business. Let me say that again. amymcdonald.com.au/growing-your-yoga-biz. Halfway through enrollments. So if you are interested in signing up and you have questions, let me know. amy@amymcdonald.com.au. If you already know that you want to join, don't wait. There's a limited number of places in this program because I want to make sure that I can really get my hands on everybody, know what everybody is up to, see what it is that you're working on, be really present with you. I'm all over the private Facebook group for that program like nobody's business. You got a question, I got an answer. Commitment there, so you'll have that. And I want to make sure that I can really be present with everybody. So it's not an unlimited number of places. We do have a limit on the number of people that can fit into the program. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait. What is also amazing is absolutely Phil's book. Please make sure you get it, read it, and join me for book club. If you want to know when the book club is going to be, make sure you're in my Facebook group where we have those events listed in advance in the events section. So that's facebook.com/groups/abundantyogateachers. You might have to just give us a moment to add you if you're just going to find that now. But that's where all of the podcast topics and call-in details are always listed. And, of course, we always send around an email an hour before the podcast starts so that you can join me live. Folks, it's been super fun. I'm really excited that some of you might be joining me and Phil in India. His tour, can you believe it? Isn't that sound exciting? Like all of that stuff. I really desperately want to go on a tangent now, but I'm conscious that I have just 1 minute remaining, so I'm not going to. Oh, my God, this is un-Amy to not go off on this whopping great big tangent. But I think the thing I'm most excited about, other than just getting to, like listen to Phil talk about cool yoga stuff for 3 weeks, amazing, is going to that Lord of the Dance temple. There's been a little bit of controversy about that. Amy, you said you wouldn't talk on the tangent. Don't do it. All right, folks, take good care, and I'll speak with you all again soon. Bye. If this talk has inspired you, I'd be so grateful if you could review this podcast in iTunes to help other yoga teachers find it in the future. And if you're curious about how I can support you more fully to grow, serve, and shine as an abundant yoga teacher in your business, come on over and explore my website at amymcdonald.com.au. Thank you so much for joining us, and may your path be soulful, rewarding, and abundant.